Well, I greet you this afternoon in the name of the Lord Jesus. Anybody besides me been blessed in this meeting? Well, I'll tell you, I've got to sit in heavenly places before men of God, give out the word, and I just praise the Lord for that message. Brother Craig just did a tremendous job last night, and I thank you, Brother Craig, for the word. Brother Duck, I really want to say in front of these people, I thank you for your heart. Sincerity that you have. Another guy, I've never seen him before. I believe he'll make heaven as excited as he is if he don't run past it. And I appreciated his message. And Brother Jerry, he's seemed like always a blessing to me. There's something about Brother Jerry. He's always blessed me. I wish I had some of the wisdom that God's give you in life. God uses, and I look at fellows, and God gives some guys seemingly wisdom. Jerry's a businessman, and I got to tell you this, Brother Jerry. My son used to be in business as such here in Rogers Bentonville, and I helped him one day, and Connie's watching a grandbaby, and we had some documents. You may remember this, and I was helping my son work, and I'll tell you, I'm country. I can't help it. Man, I'd rather plow a good mule in a good corn patch, and I had to go to Branson any day of the week. And I've got I have got on old work clothes, and I don't know it, and I've got a smidge of grease on my nose or somewheres. And Connie wanted me to give him some documents, wanted him to give his expert opinion on some things pertaining to a little church that we were starting. And I walked into that office. Now, you president, wasn't you? He said, he's up there. And I climbed those carpeted chairs and stairs and went up there to see the bank president dressed like that. And Connie said, you didn't. I did, Jerry. You're witness to it. And Jerry, the bank president, was. And I guess I should say I'm sorry, but Jerry, from the country, boy. And I appreciate your message. Jesus Christ, come to save sinners. I'm chief. I feel like Paul did in that, dude. And preaching afterwards, I told Brother Craig, it's amazing to me how the enemy works. How long you've preached, how long you've served the Lord, he's always got a way, he's working. And you wonder, which does God really want for this hour? I've actually got three messages I'm going to relay to you. I've wrestled with what to do when the doer is done, and that's biblical. And I may use a little touch of it. And I wrestled again with another message. And I'm settled, I trust on this. If you'll pray hard, I'll preach good. If you don't pray, it's going to be bad. So would you pray fervently? I want to say, too, that Brother Jamie, thank you for inviting me to come be a part of your camp meeting. I enjoy coming here. I love you, Daddy, so much, and Mommy. You may not call her Mommy, but I did for you kids. And they've been friends. I remember when I wasn't married and preached to them, and he was a deacon, and they had some little bitty kids they was holding. And they wasn't grandkids then. They was your own right there in the old Freedom Church. And what a blessing. And then I think last year, so we got to stay at Brother Jamie's house and Sister Christy. And I've seen something pass on. He's a good man, too. Daddy passed on. Right there. And what a blessing it was to be in their home. Sweet, good people. And I just love being with you folks so much. And last night, Brother Al and Sister Debbie took us. And boy, we had a good time. Didn't last long. Don't take long staying out with them. And I knew I was in a good place when I got in, got my coat off. Brother Mike D said, you like ice cream? I said, I sure do. And he went to digging the ice cream out and the topping for it. And boy, music. It's time to get up and get your face washed and get another suit and come down here. Walked outside in our arm of the way. But Brother Al, thank you for your kindness to us. I like biscuits and gravy. Hadn't been for biscuits and gravy and beans and taters, I'd have never made it in this life. And I'm about grateful. He's going to hang. Now he said, we'll give you your choice of meal for your last one. And he said, gravy. It saved my life a lot of times. And so I'll give you the biscuits for sure. And a wonderful good dinner. Thank you so much. Invite you to take the Word of God and go with me to the book of Psalms chapter 62. Brother Al, take that, Brother Al, take that old songbook. 151. Living by faith. Yes. Tell you, I want you to lead the first verse from right there where you're at, okay? Psalm 62, would you stand in your respect and appreciation to the Word of God? Psalm chapter 62, when you're there, say amen, would you? If you're not going to get there, just say go on, and I'll go ahead and read it. This is the only psalm. Please watch what I'm saying. The only psalm. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. You ever meet anybody like that? My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they're altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest every man according to his work. I'm going to preach today on the only psalm. Did you catch it in the writing? He only is my rock and my defense. He only is my salvation. Sing, Brother Al, an old verse, verse 1. Rain, the Lord, everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, being confiding in His great love. From all harm within, in a sheltering arm, with faith, and feel no alone. Pray. service of the giving. That have given out the word and what you've said previously. And now, Father, as this time, would you give me the anointing? And I'll do my best to say what you say, and lift your name up. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. Your goodness. The only Son. Jesus. Oh, that I joyous Peter can say, I have Jesus, and that's enough for me. Let me tell you, those who really know Jesus, and you get what I'm going to say, and have been with Him through all kind of storms, know that He alone is sufficient for our every need. I call this the only psalm. Actually, Charles Spurgeon said that how many years ago? Not because it's the only psalm, or there is no others, but in fact there's 149 psalms beside this one. But the significance of the word only needs to be enlarged upon in this chapter. Notice with me, He only is my rock. Notice, they only consult to cast Him down. Notice this, wait thou only upon God. Then again He said, He only is my rock. Now you're aware that the Psalms is the hymn book of the Bible. Now, David wrote this psalm, gave it to Jeduthun, his chief musician, to put the music in it. He only is my rock. He only is my defense. Let me tell you, there is great power in singing the Word. Great power in singing the Bible. If you ever get down to Mully Grubbs, then I'm probably the only one that ever got acquainted with Mully Grubbs. But I want to tell you, if you can just reach down and pull Scripture up and begin to think Scripture, quote, and your steps will begin to lighten and you'll be blessed. Now, this psalm is not about the time that David slew the lion or the bear as a boy. This psalm is not about the time when He's anointed king by Samuel. Oh, what a story. From the pastor to the palace. This is not about the time, beloved, that He takes a slingshot and He kills a man that's 9'6" tall or so. It's not about that time. This psalm is not about the time that Saul's trying to kill him and slings the javelin at him. It's not about the time that he's wandering in the wilderness, hiding. Some at the most trying. He literally, my friend, is fleeing Jerusalem. He's going up the hill crying, going with ashes on his head, and he's barefooted, and he's weeping. You Check it out yourself in 2 Kings 15:30. Climbs the ascent of Mount Olive. And I could hear David weeping, crying, and the men following after him are crying and they're weeping, walking up the hill. Why, preacher? Because David loved Jerusalem, the city of the great king. David loved the God that had gave him Jerusalem. I think further that David doesn't want pastor a battle fought inside Jerusalem too. Blessed is Brother Jerry alluded to this and said it quite well. I think S.M. Davis, one of the greatest preachers I've ever known or got to hear, one of his greatest sermons is the issue over the tissue. And he's telling about pastoring a church. And Brother Craig, the crowd gets divided over what color toilet paper is going to be in the bathroom. We're going to hell. And an issue over tissue. David, inside the house of God, you might say, or over Jerusalem. And David is going, walking up the hill, Mount Olivet, crying. But really, David the old warrior makes no defense here. He just, only is my God. In Him only will I trust. When David, that mighty little warrior that he was, is weeping and crying, walking up the hill. But I want you to notice, it's His faith that edifies others. His faith that with you, Brother Mike Hutzel. When I saw you talk to like a dog, my dad would say, and mistreated. But I'm grateful that when it come time to open that old book, that faith was still just as real. And your walk with God was undetected no matter what the world was doing. Brother Craig's on the platform. Brother Craig, show this generation that no matter what circumstances are going on around me, and I'm going to show you some of those, my faith is only in Him. It's not in men. It's not in earthly kingdom. It's in Him that shall not be moved. David's leaving the fighting up to the Lord. Little men are called. Little man says, you got to, David is saying, my eyes are on Him. I trust Him. I know Him. And David doesn't have to have a miracle or anybody patting him on the back, because David said, I'll walk with God even if it's in the dark. I'll walk with Him. Others would have said, David's defeated. David would say, no, it's just a little test of faith to go through. Now, ever noticed, it seems at the time in life that you really need a friend, that those you thought were your best of friends turn out sometime to be not so good friends. Now, you don't have to raise your hand. Have you ever been there? There's a man darkest hour of David's life, he becomes a Judas Iscariot and goes to the other side. When he needed that friend the most. There's another fellow by the name of Shimei. Imagine when David was on the throne, bowing his head to the king and saying, "Oh, this is our king. I'm so proud of him." You have no need like that. But when the opportunity comes and he gets a chance to express himself, he shows where his heart really was. Maybe God meant for him to curse me. I may tell you more about him just. Really, really help somebody and went out of your way a long ways to help them, and they get a chance and they betray you. And see, the lies to David about Mephibosheth, that little lame walked because a nurse dropped him, Jonathan's son. And he's lied about him, that Mephibosheth, that little guy that ate at your table that you fed and you protected, he's allied to the other side, David. And David doesn't have anybody to trust in. David's saying, "He only is my rock and my defense. Should not, be moved." It's wonderful to have friends. I believe I'm in the midst of some good friends today. Trust, be anchored in God Almighty. Trust me, I'll do my best to help you, but I may fail you because I put my shoes on every morning too, and my feet are. Sends the ark along with him. And Brother Mike, David sends him back with that ark and said, "If it's the will of God, God will bring us back." David realized that God is. And a lot of people want to bring it along with them just for their crutch. David said, "Look back." I know that typifies the presence of God. But David just said, "I'm looking beyond any kind of religion. I'm looking to God Almighty." It'd be important that I quote this scripture to you today. "Beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened. But get what the Word said. But inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If He be revealed, name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of Christ resteth upon you." Now, if you look in this chapter close, you can see it's definitely a time of faith. I wonder, as I face this crowd today on this Saturday afternoon, how many of you would honestly say, "This year has been a time of faith for me"? Would you raise your hand? It's been a time of faith for Connie and I. Surgery on my knee, replacement, resign. some trials with some children? Raise your hand. How many of you have some trials with some family members? It's breaking your heart, moving your heart. And you've had to face things you thought you'd never face in life. Every one of us. I'll tell you, and I'm just talking to you, one of the ways Brother Jerry, because the enemy has used health. This husband's wanting a divorce, or my wife's being unfaithful, and I can write you a book on it as an old preacher. These are the days and a time of testing of faith that are trying. I want to tell you, I've got an anchor. I've got an anchor. It had. Brother Jerry was all in. Look who's on the other side. Men he's trained, men he's fed, men he's supported, and men who's he's made. And now they have deserted him and are standing against him. David is encouraging the people, trust in the Lord, pour out your heart before Him. Now, David is living a life of prayer. Now, I appreciate people that would pray. But I just imagine that some spiritual man in the crowd said, let's have a prayer meeting. Let's just pray. Brother Doug Irvin, I think David would have said, what do you think I've been doing all the time? I think David's living a life of prayer. And I think the need is great. Yes, sir. To be alone on our knees before God, spending valuable, valuable time with Him. But I tell you, in this hour, let me exhort the body of Christ, the elect of God, let me walk a life of prayer. It is not a sign of weakness for you to be saying, help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Jesus. If it be the smallest thing, I've learned, Sister Donna, cry out for Him. Nothing in me dwells any good thing, but He only is my rock and my defense. Oh, children, let me exhort you in this thing tonight. It's a time of faith. It's a time of faith. And Pastor, I really believe in David's not a young man at this time. How many of you have noticed something? It doesn't get easier as you get older. Have you noticed? You think, well, you've been over the roads a long time. You know, you ought to have it figured out. You don't get it figured out. And Brother Hal, the older we get, the harder it is to climb high. And the harder it is to carry the load. Man, when I was a young man, I never thought anything about making a living. I never thought anything about that. I thought I'd get a job anywhere to stay with anybody working. But let me tell you, enough of those bodily scars and enough of those afflictions make you realize He only is all I've got. He only is all I have. And at this life, he's not that young warrior now that grab a lion by the mane, Brother Craig, and take him on. He's an old man that need just be sitting and giving orders probably. But instead, he's walking up the Mount of Olives weeping and crying as he goes. It's David or Absalom. And David is finding out which one is loyal and disloyal. Are you aware that Ahithophel, through marriage, was kin to David? And I'm sorry, but sometimes your greatest discouragement can come from your family. No rotten tomatoes, please. But sometimes the people that ought to put their arm around you and say, son, hang in there, you can do it. Family feels they have a right to be very cutting and be very, sometimes, free with their words. Benjamin. He's all and he's throwing rocks at David. Absalom is entering Jerusalem triumphantly. The crowds that cheered David a few years ago are now saying, "Hey, we got to say yep, king now. We got man, what he's going to do." Don't ever forget the same crowd that shouted Hosanna in a few days said, "Crucify the Savior too." In this moment of defeat, the world would say in darkness and testing, there's not a hint of discouragement. Instead, if you study him, there's a song of salvation. There's a work of wonder, a pen of praise. Here's a man. He's living now in the spiritual stratosphere of heaven. It's a time of a test of his faith. Do you realize that true faith is always tested? True test comes when your faith is laid on the stretcher and is pulled to the greatest extent. Beloved, as I stand over this book tonight, or this afternoon, let me tell you, though, that the trial of your faith, according to James, is more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might it be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Abraham was more a man of faith after he's laid Isaac on the altar than he was the day he left Ur of Chaldees. Because his life is a series of stairs and testings and trials. And Abraham could be put in Hebrews chapter 11. Brother Doug Irvin is a man of faith. But faith grew, it grew, and it grew. Faith is to mature. God, how the devil can't. God, the more the devil calls his troops out. I just knew, Brother Craig, when I was a young preacher, full time. We won enough souls, if the church grew them greatly, that everybody would out, that even some of that spiritual leadership would say, "Where's all these people coming from? I don't even know people around here anymore." Isn't that amazing? How sad, Brother Jerry Sadler. Joyce saved. Amen. David's going through this time. It was so, oh boy, God blessing a church, folks getting saved. Some of them writing my name on the sidewalk as a course, interested in souls, getting people in church. And I come up with a little saying I want to remind you of. That attitude, we want a little church. We like it. It's comfortable here. And we just want things like they are. I want to tell you, somebody's going to go to hell. And I don't want my son or your son to go to hell. And David, at this time of life, is it the most severe testing it could be? Men that ought to be saying, "Thank God we've got a united kingdom now. Thank God we're the this nation on earth. God raised up a little shepherd boy," but they're instead they're saying, "Let's get the rebel. Let's get the rebel. Let's get the little young smart aleck in here that says he can show everybody how to do it. It's full of pride and all of that." People sometimes can be so fickle, my cutsel, and so blind, can't they? And that's going on right now. And David's weeping and crying. He's fought. Come from the shepherd. Oh, he's come to the field, to the palace, and he always opposes the work of Almighty God. And let me tell you, when you're waiting on God. Now, I'm in a hurry. Oh, do it. For us doing. Some of the neighbors thought the house on fire, somebody hurt or something. They see me running up the road. Ain't nothing. I got something to do. And strengthen together. To wait upon Him is really spiritual check. You really care. It may be in the dark of the night. Pour out some tears. But God sees and hears that. David is saying, God's my salvation. He's my glory. He's my strength. He's my refuge. Well, preacher, my time hadn't come. You just hold on. It will. Your faith will be tested. You will be tried. I say that to everyone in this crowd. And David can really say, I've been to the bottom and it's solid. This is a hallelujah chorus time for David. And I want to tell you, sometimes I tremble on the rock. But I want to tell you, after a long years of preaching the gospel, that rock Ellis Doyle has never trembled under me. It's solid. Holding on. Now, we're guilty a lot of times of talking much to man about our troubles and talking a little to God. But learn and forbear and silent be, because God can take care of. Hey, this is not a cowboy picture. I told you I have three messages on my heart. Brother Craig, come here, please, buddy. Go down that aisle, please, sir. Let's pull Craig and get the coals out of it. No question asked or even thought that Craig is much, much stouter than I am. He's much bigger, strong. And his brothers, I used to hear them fight. It's sound like two great big scimitar bulls fighting. Now, Craig, muscle up and hold the rope tight. Let's say that's God right there. David had a rope of faith. He wasn't going to like it. One hand, it'll burn the fire out of you, those ropes. If I really was counting on that for my life, here's what I'd do. I'd kink that thing and put that hand through it. I'd take that other behind my hip because I got a knot back there. And I'd lean on it. And I'd pull. Now that rope is just like grace, brother. I promise you that you can tie every man in this house up with that rope right there. We can't break it, wouldn't you, Craig? With that new design of rope. I don't know what all they are, but it's unreal how stout they are. Now, my hope lies not in my but of the big one on the end. David's not walking in his strength at this time. He's walking in the strength of an arm that is an almighty arm that does not fail. All I gotta do is just keep the faith. Hang on to it. Start pulling, Craig. I can plant my feet. Grace just taking me on. Grace just taking me on. Grace just taking me on. Now, what would happen if I turn loose? Whoop, bloom, back under the altar. But you got that thing kinked, Doug, and you got that other around your hip. That's you can pull with your weight then. My hope's on a rope. Called grace. But the other end of grace is God.
Amen.
David's going uphill. He's pulling a load. But he keeps on hanging on to the rope. It's a time of triumph. David's not believing in his strength. He's believing in God's strength. Because he said, He only is my hope. He's my refuge. He's my strength. He's the one that I'm trusting in. Grace has never broken yet. God has never let His child down as holding on by faith to grace. Never. Never. David tells why he's got great faith. Notice the last of this chapter. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto David. No. Power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, Lord, belongeth mercy. Hey, catch that. You talk about a way to triumph. Power of God and God's mercy. But it'll take. But I know the rope holds. I know that grace is attached to the other end of an Elohim God. That is an almighty God. Pastor, you remember when David sitting out there on a rock looking over his father's sheep, and he said, looking at that big old universe, star-studded skies, and the expanse of that country, the Lord's my shepherd. David, who are you holding on? That same one that I looked up to and said, the Lord is my shepherd. And the good part of it is, He is the rock. He hasn't changed. He cannot change. Our scripture would be broken. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Power belongs unto Him. And mercy, David said. And on those two things, I can get her done. Let me tell you, you know the rest of the story. You've read the Bible. We're preaching to the choir today in such a day and the weather like it is. But let me tell you, when there is power, there can be mercy. Our Monday, and He's the hot judge in this land, He can occur. I want to tell you that we stand before an Elohim God who's omnipotent and has all power to say, as sins are forgiven thee, I give you mercy. And David is not laying upon his ability as a soldier. His many battles that he's fought. The nation he's commanded. But he's laying upon the fact that God has all power. God is a God of love and has great mercy. At the heart of Christianity is the mercy of the Lord. We sang that old song, Come Every Soul That Sin Oppressed, There's Mercy with the Lord. That's what George Bernard meant when he wrote, I'll cling to the old rugged cross. My dear friends, the only Psalms, because He's the only rock. He's the only refuge. He only is our strength. And He only is our God. What time I'm afraid? The other way, I remember, I've got one that has power and mercy and cling to Him.
What's your job? Steady. Just hold steady.
And I've learned. Plant your feet. Just stand. Just stay. Just hook it up and wait on God. We don't have a problem of getting behind God very much, but we have a great potential of getting ahead of God. And David said, Zadok, take the ark back. If it's God's will, we'll be back. David knew a God on his own, knew him experimentally, who had power and mercy. And he only must be your God. Thank you, preacher.